The text 9, and on number 10. Krishna is describing the three modes of material nature. All right, let's chant verse number 10.
Vaschabhi bhuya sattvam bhavati bharata raja sattvam rajas chaiva tamas sattvam rajas tatha.
Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the modes of passion and ignorance, O son of heart. Sometimes the mode of passion defeats goodness and ignorance, and other times ignorance defeats goodness and passion. In this way, there's always competition for supremacy. So it's clear that here the modes of nature are always competing for prominency. And this happens within the individual also. Although a person may be primarily in one mode of nature, but it doesn't mean that the other modes are not there. They're also there within him or her, depending on so many factors. And so one mode generally becomes prominent and subdues the other two modes. Just like the doshas, right, in Ayurvedic medicine. A person may be primarily vata dosha, but in the summer, if he eats a lot of tomatoes and lemons and other pitta, acidic, sour substances like yogurt and so forth, then his pitta can rise much higher than his vata and cause him some disturbance. So generally the modes are like that. One is generally prominent. And they're always fighting with one another for supremacy, as mentioned here. Prabhupada mentions that this competition is always going on. Therefore, one who is actually intent on advancing in Krishna consciousness has to transcend these modes. The prominence of some certain mode of nature... No sneezing, please, in the class. The prominence of some certain mode of nature is manifested in one's dealings, in his activities, in eating, etc. All this will be explained in later chapters. But if one wants, he can develop, by practice, the mode of goodness, and thus defeat the modes of ignorance and passion. One can similarly develop passion, if he wants to, and defeat goodness and ignorance. Or if he wants, he can develop ignorance and defeat passion and goodness. Although there are these three modes, if one is determined, he can be blessed by goodness, and by transcending the mode of goodness, he can come to Sudha Sattva, Vasudev. So, important point is mentioned by Prabhupada here that the modes of nature are manifest in our dealings and activities, like eating and so many things. And that if we want, we can develop by practice the mode of goodness. We have to practice developing the mode of goodness. It's not just going to fall out of the sky on our head. We have to practice. And we're going to talk about that. Of course, the main way that we develop the mode of goodness is by hearing and chanting about Krishna. And we're already doing that. And this is the most powerful activity. But still, we need to augment it. We need to subsidize it or support it with our knowledge and our dealings and our practice of developing goodness in our everyday life. It needs to be supported by these things. Because I think we have to admit, all of us, that our hearing and chanting is not what it could be. Right? Our hearing and chanting is not on the pure platform. It's not with complete, unadulterated concentration. Right? We're not chanting the Shuddha Nam, right? We're not. Our concentration in japa is not so good. In class, sometimes we doze off, or at least our mind sometimes flies out the window, even if we're awake, right? So, our hearing and chanting is also lacking in many ways. Although that is a very powerful, still it's a powerful process, even if it's just abhas. Shruti abhas, you know, hearing, Bhagavatam abhas, Nam abhas. So, if our chanting and hearing was Shuddha Nam and all of this, then we don't have to practice anything. We'll immediately rise to the Vasudeva platform, to Bhava Bhakti. Well, not overnight, but it will be very quickly. Because Shuddha Nam can begin at the stage of Ruchi or Asakti, when one has some taste and he's attracted, he likes chanting. And then very soon he can come to Bhava Bhakti and rise above the modes of nature. Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma Prema Suryamsa Samyabhak. So Bhava Bhakti means Vishuddha Sattva Visheshatma. The person develops a specific quality to rise above the modes of nature at that platform. But we're not at Bhava Bhakti. We're not Uttam Adhikaris. Many of us are Kanishta Adhikaris. So it's good to practice developing the higher mode of goodness. And if one's determined, Prabhupada says that he can do that. He can be blessed by coming to the mode of goodness. Okay, so one might question, how may I know when a particular mode is prominent? Because this verse is talking about one mode fights against the other two and becomes prominent. So one might ask, how can I tell which mode is prominent? And Krishna answers this question in the next few verses.
Sarvadvarishu dehesmin prakasha ubhajayate jnanam yada tada vidyat vivridham sutpam ityuta.
The manifestations of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all of the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. Now Krishna begins to describe, If goodness, sattva guna, is prominent, then it can be experienced or it's characterized when all of the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. Prabhupada comments, there are 9 gates in the body, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, mouth, genital, and anus. When every gate is illuminated by the symptom of goodness, it should be understood that one has developed the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one can see things in the right position, one can hear things in the right position, and can taste things in the right position. One becomes cleansed inside and outside. In every gate, there is development of the symptom of happiness, and that is the position of goodness.
Sarvadvarishudehismin prakasha ubhajayate.
So from all the gates of the body, illumination or prakash is there. Jnanam yada tada vidyan. Then knowledge comes, or illuminated by knowledge. Vivridam sat ityunha. So this is happiness from within by the person's existence. It's not that he's getting some kind of happiness from without. It is coming from within. It's not. This is his knowledge and illumination is causing. Is coming from knowledge. and the gates of the body become illuminated. And Prabhupada explains what that means, because otherwise you could have a very immature and foolish understanding. Actually, one seminar, one person raised their hands, and they asked me, "What does it mean when the anus is illuminated by knowledge? What is the symptom?" But it means that the person has the proper discrimination in his sense activities. It means he can see things in the right position, he can hear things, smell things, and taste things properly. Someone in the mode of good, in the mode of ignorance, he likes to eat, drink wine, and eat flesh, and fish eggs, and in Korea they drink fermented dog juice. They take dead dogs and throw them in a pot, and when they ferment after a few months, then the juice drips out from the tap on the bottom, and they taste that as nectar. Really, it's true. I lived in Hong Kong for a year, and it is said that the Chinese people, they eat everything that flies in the sky, swims in the water, or crawls on the land. And when you go through the market, you see they have little birds, and they have turtles and snakes and frogs and all in the marketplace. And people come there, and they pick out a few little sparrows, and then the Chinese person takes them out and just cuts their head off and puts them in a bag or something like that in front of you. And on the sides, you'll see these faces of pigs kind of hanging there, fleshy bags. One time I was going to distribute books, and I walked through the market. There was this big garbage can, and on top of it was placed the head of a bull with these big horns. And there was flies buzzing around with blood, two X's on the eyes like this. This is the lower modes. So if somebody thinks that these things are tasty and so forth, that means that their discrimination isn't very good. So someone who has developed the mode of goodness, he can't stand even smelling these or even looking at these things. Actually, every day at about 5:30 or 6 o'clock, all the people in the flats around us, they'd start cooking fish, because everyone in Hong Kong eats fish at about the same time. And the whole place, like you're in a hot city in the middle of the summer, and there's no, breeze coming, and everyone starts cooking fish all around you. It's just, horrendous. It can almost knock you over. These are some of the, just a few of the austerities of preaching in the Orient. So someone in the mode of goodness, then his bowel movements are, they're regulated, and etc. Everything happens very properly. This is in the meaning. So in the meaning of the lower gates, how they act. Okay, so the main prakasham jnanam means he has proper discrimination. So someone in mode of goodness, he's very pensive and thoughtful, and he knows what to do and what not to do. He has the right discrimination. Right now, text 12 describes the mode of passion.
Lobha pravittirarambha karmanam ashama spriha rajasyetani jayante vrividhe bharata shabha.
O chief of the Bharatas, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, fruitive activity, intense endeavor, and uncontrollable desire and hankering develop. So a person in goodness is active, But it's without all of the hankering and intense endeavor and intense or uncontrollable desires. A person in passion, he's also active, but he's always racing around feverishly because his motive and his whole psyche is based upon the desire to enjoy. So the first word is lobha, which means greedy. He's very greedy. And it means that he will not donate for something, because he has a possessiveness which overcomes him. And even if there's a good cause and a proper situation to donate, he's overcome by his possessiveness, the lobha. And pravritti means there's activity, but arambha means he's always starting new kinds of work again and again, and because he has desires for this and desires for that, and he's always starting new things in a very passionate way without being so thoughtful. Maybe I should first finish what I'm doing and then later I should start this new project. He doesn't think like that. He feels some inspiration. He has this uncontrollable desire to start something new. Sometimes we see devotees do that too. They start a restaurant and then they get it going and then they have to do something else. And then we put someone in who's more in goodness to keep the restaurant going, and we direct that person towards, you know, starting a radio station, and then the person starts a radio station and gets a lot of money and goes around talking to old people and organizing these things. And then we got to find someone who's a little bit more passive and peaceful and goodness, and then they can maintain the radio station, and then the other person wants to do something new, and then we send them in another direction to start a gurukul or, you know, this or that. Right? We can utilize the passion, because passion is good for creating things. But the problem is with these kind of people that, I mean, usually there's a limit to how many projects you can create, because there's a limit of manpower and money. Right, so then at a certain point they burn themselves out. Then what can they do? Karamanam ashama spriha. So ashama means uncontrollable. So their desires are uncontrollable, and they want to start new works. And their senses are very restless, it means. You have to go to something new. They feel some dissatisfaction, you know. They have to keep moving, and that's the mode of passion. And spriha means desire, particularly to enjoy the sense objects. And Prabhupada mentions in the commentary, one in the mode of passion is never satisfied with the position he has already acquired. He hankers to increase his position. Right? I know there was one devotee in London where I was working for 10 years. And first he was on the preaching team, and he headed up the Harinam party. And then he got involved with management. And then he stayed there for a couple years. And then he's gone now. And he's gone to another. Now he's working for some, he's working for some corporation or some company outside of ISKCON that has more money and kind of prestigious, some secular corporation. And the whole, his whole idea was to kind of have a corporate mood. You know, he had big, big tables and desks and, you know, big, you know, like a corporation table when there's 20 chairs and, you know, like this, where they have big meetings. Before it was a library where we used to preach to guests, to people who would come. For many years, it was always this. It was only for preaching. Then it became a corporate business meeting hall, right, with big chairs and big desks. So anyway, it's And some, you know, like the senior devotees, they saw this, and I thought, you know, but everyone else kind of just, I don't know, they weren't able to perceive the symptoms. Because I forgot, I was going to read this first and then have this discussion. Aprakasho pravitischa pramado mohaivacha tamasyetani jayante vivridhe kurunandan. When there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, O son of Kuru, darkness or inertia, madness and illusion are manifested. Prabhupada says, one in ignorance does not work by a regulative principle. He wants to act whimsically for no purpose. Even though he has the capacity to work, he makes no endeavor. This is called illusion. So aprakasha means there's this lack of discrimination, which was found in text 11, the word prakasha there, upajayate. So it means this person accepts non-shastric activities and decisions and so forth. The word cha in this verse means sleeping. Apravritti means there's no activity, so it means this person's very lazy. As the famous Maharashtrian saint said, Tulsidas, he said, Ram nam me alse, bhojan me husiyar. Tulsi eshe jivan ko bar bar dichar. This person is condemned again and again. Because he is, when it comes to chanting the name of the Lord, he's very lazy. But when it comes to eat, he's very enthusiastic. Yeah. Just like your friend. My friend. And pramad means crazy, insanity or madness. Pramad. This is the name of the offense of inattentive chanting also. It means kind of insanity. That means this person's thinking he doesn't have what he has. It means he may have an ability to do a certain kind of work, but he doesn't recognize that. That's one kind of illusion, as Prabhupada points out in the commentary. So what happens at the time of death when these different modes are prominent? Krishna explains each circumstance. And we'll chant number 14. Yada sattve pravidhetu pralayam yati deyabrit tadottama vidang lokan amalan pratipadyate. When one dies in the mode of goodness, he attains to the pure higher planets of the great sages. So, according to your development of goodness, you go to higher and higher planet. If you're completely in goodness, you can go to Brahmaloka, and or the higher planets like Tapalok, Janalok, or Mahalok. These are when people are very strongly situated in the mode of goodness. When there's more passion mixed in, then you come to the lower heavenly planets, like which are called Svarga, like Indralok, Chandralok, like this. So these are places where it's still mostly in goodness, but there's a lot of passion mixed in. And therefore there's envy, and there's kind of, you know, attempts for stealing another's wife. Like Indra tries to come after Brihaspati's wife, and all these kind of things. This happens. These things happen in the Swarga. Of course, the highest situation is Brahmalok or so forth. This is described, Prabhupada mentions the word amalan. It means free from the lower modes. And text 15. Rajasi pralayam gatva karma sangeshu jayate tata pralinas tamasi muda yonishu jayate. When one dies in mode of passion, he takes birth among those engaged in fruitive activities. And when one dies in the mode of ignorance, he takes birth in the animal kingdom. So it's quite logical that if somebody is in mode of passion, then he has strong desires for fruitive activities. So naturally he'll take birth amongst the humans and those who are engaged. Because it's the human beings who are doing all the fruitive work in the mode of passion. Very concerned about honor, as we were pointing out before. And when one dies in ignorance, then there's the mudha yonishu, the births amongst the animal species. Okay. Now Krishna describes the results of actions also. Another three results of actions. These two verses describe when someone dies in these modes of nature. And then now is described the results of his actions or his work. 16. Karmana sukritasyahu satvikam nirmalam phalam rajasas tu phalam dhukam agyanam tamasam phalam. The result of pious action is pure and is said to be in the mode of goodness. But action done in the mode of passion results in misery, and action performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. So, when one acts in goodness, then the result is nirmalam. There's purity. One develops purity and knowledge. So therefore, all religious rules and regulations are meant to bring one to the mode of goodness, as are Vaishnav etiquette, or should I say, as is Vaishnav etiquette, or the different types of etiquette, or any etiquette for that matter. It's meant to bring us to the mode of goodness. Therefore, religious systems have different rules and regulations, and generally people find them distasteful to follow because they like the mode of passion. But to develop the mode of goodness, it requires a little self-restraint. So therefore there's a little bit of pinching, you know, some pain there. But it pays off in the end. It's actually better. One feels more, when one is situated in goodness, then he feels actually peaceful, and then he can be happy. When one is affected by the other modes, like passion, then he has a lot of lobha or greed, and he works very hard, he gets something, but then he has more desires and more greed. It never stops. As Prabhupada described, and I also gave this description of this devotee, that he was never satisfied. He just wanted this position and a bigger position and a bigger position, and then it just pushed him right out of ISKCON, because he saw that he could get more money and more prestige if he could work for this big secular corporation like this. And he was actually a good devotee. He was very intelligent. He gave good classes. He was friendly, and so forth. And, you know, but it was just somehow, gradually the mode of passion was seen in his activities. And, you know, if you kind of look in retrospect, in hindsight, and you can see that the passion was actually pushing him, and it just moved him right out from ISKCON. Even from, as far as I know, doing devotions, I don't know what he's doing so much, but at least his main thrust is no longer just missionary activities. So here we see when we do actions in passion, it results in misery. Because as we said, we don't think, we do something in a rushed, feverish way to get it done or to get some quick results. And then we realize that we didn't do it right and we have to start again. Or we get a kind of immediate reaction. Just like when we started distributing books in America in the 70s, in the beginning it was quite nice, but then gradually we became a little greedy because we were just young, passionate Americans, and there was a certain kind of, philosophy behind the whole thing, which justified the whole thing. And we just started pushing people to give more and more money, Or we'll purify them, because if we don't get their money, they're going to spend it on sinful activities. So we should try to pull as much money as possible from them, no matter what it takes. And it was just, you know, it just made us look really bad, like we were very greedy. And actually, gradually, we did become kind of greedy, like for, not for ourselves, because we didn't keep the money, but mainly for, like, prestige amongst the Vaishnavas, like who collected the most money and so forth. And we actually, it was detrimental. The mood was so intense that people actually just threw the books away in the garbage. Or one time I remember I was in the airport and I was pressuring the soldier. I gave him a record and then a book. And then he gave me some money, and then I got some more money and more money from him, and then I just started fast talking him, and then I said, okay, well, thanks a lot, and you know, I just did this whole kind of thing on him, and then I walked away, and then as soon as I walked away, he took the record and just smashed it on the ground and screamed. And I turned around and I saw him do this, and I thought, oh, I better get out of here quick before he asks for his money back. I was left, you know. This is the kind of crazy things we used to do. That was just one circumstance. You know, so gradually people everywhere began thinking of us in a very bad way, and they stopped all of our preaching activities, all of our distribution and our fund collecting, because of the intense... So we ended up suffering because of this, because we did it in a very passionate way. We weren't really thinking about the good, the ultimate good of the person, the individual. We weren't just trying to give them Krishna consciousness in the mode of goodness to help them, as any preacher or priest or any religious person would. But it just became like a game amongst us to get money, you know, to get some big score like this. So then it just destroyed the preaching, at least for some years. So that's how passion. This is one example of how passion in ISKCON can create misery. And actions performed in ignorance just result in ajnana, or ignorance or foolishness. And there may be so many examples of that, perhaps you can give. Here in the commentary, Prabhupada gives an example of activity and passion creating misery. He says, his example says, if one wants to have a skyscraper, so much misery has to be undergone before the skyscraper can be built. And he gives some examples. The financier has to take so much money, and then there's this construction crew, and so many things like this. This is his example of an activity in passion which creates misery. And then his example of activity in ignorance, he says that activity in ignorance brings animal life. And he says slaughtering poor animals is also due to the mode of ignorance. Because the animal killers do not know in the future the animal will have a body suitable to kill him. And in this way he's in ignorance. He doesn't have knowledge. Actually, there was a report from someplace in Japan. In a slaughterhouse, they were ready to slaughter a bull, and he started crying so piteously, practically like a human being. There was tears coming down his eyes, and he was like wailing, oh, you know, the cow was kind of like crying like a human. And it actually went on the ground, it sat on the ground, and it was crying and like kind of pleading, in a pleading voice, piteously crying out. And it was so so human-like that even the Japanese men who were in the slaughterhouse, they felt compassion for the poor beast, and they none of them would kill them. They all of them refused to do their work because of it actually touched their heart. This was some report in a magazine. So, of course, as we were saying, the killing of animals or any creature, especially in the Orient, is people do it as a daily affair. But at least for this group, somehow or other, they were able to see a little bit deeper. They were actually able to see the person or the soul, the heart of the animal. And they recognized that there was an individual there that was suffering, and then they refused to kill the beast. Prabhupada actually quotes from the Rig Veda, because sometimes devotees say, where does it say that we shouldn't kill, or especially cows? But here's from the Rig Veda, Gobhi Prinita Matsaram, which indicates one who's satisfied by the milk, and if he wants to kill the cow, he's envious and in the grossest ignorance. This is the bottom of the page. An interesting quote from the Rig Veda. So then Krishna summarizes in text 17, and he, in verse 17, he describes the intermediate causes to the results which were given in verse 16. So verse 16 gives the ultimate results, and verse 17 gives the intermediate results. We'll read that now.
Satvat sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobaiva cha pramada moha tamaso bhavato jnanam eva cha.
From the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. Right? And from real knowledge, you get purity, which was described in 16. And from passion, greed develops. And from greed, you get misery. And from the mode of ignorance, madness and illusion come, and that brings about ignorance or foolishness. So, now Prabhupada comments, since the present civilization, and this is an interesting statement, since the present civilization is not very congenial to the living entities, very broad statement, huh? Krishna consciousness is recommended. In other words, they all got it wrong, you know, for everybody, or for all living entities' sake. Through Krishna consciousness, society will develop the mode of goodness. Because they wake up early, they shower, they eat pure food, right? When the mode of goodness is developed, people will see things as they are. And then they will gradually become elevated. And they'll appreciate the activities of the devotees more too. But because people are just filled with so much lower modes, drinking and meat, eating, killing animals, and so much sex, and drugs, and intoxication, and just incredible. How can they ever, you know, appreciate Krishna consciousness? It's impossible. All right, text 18. Now Krishna describes also where those persons may gravitate towards in the various modes of nature.
Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha madye tishtanti rajasaha jaganya gunevrittistha adho gacchanti tamasa.
Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets, because this was already mentioned. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planet. So those in the who are taking birth in passion and they want to perform fruitive activities, they generally will be in the human species on the earthly planets. And those in the abominable mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. So they go to the lower planets. So there's three verbs here, or two verbs, gacchanti, which means go, which means it describes the mode of goodness and ignorance, where they go up and down. And the other verb, tishtanti, which means they stay. So those who are in the mode of passion, they stay in the earthly planets. They don't go up or down. Now in the commentaries to this verse, The previous acharyas, they quote from the 11th canto of the Uddhava Gita, chapter 13, text number 4, where Krishna advises Arjuna how to improve his situation in the modes of nature, how to actually practically develop the mode of goodness by giving 10 suggestions, 10 ways in which we are affected by the modes of nature. And if you adjust these 10 things, you can, if you have knowledge, if you know what mode of goodness is, then you can bring yourself to the mode of goodness, factor which determines which mode is prominent in a person. Well, the time of the day and all of these things, place, work, and the individual's person, he has his own swabhav, because everyone's actually born with certain modes of nature due to their previous lifetime. So that, and mixed with all of these 10 things, it determines the mode which is prominent. Don't just pull it out because it mess up everything. I'll just... Yogindra?